book of Genesis, chapter 18 and verse 19, we read these words. I know him, and the reference is to Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Mark has already welcomed you as the first. Let me be the second to welcome you to this Los Angeles 4th of July convention in 1999. We've been planning the convention for a long time, and it is our hope and our prayer that those of you who are here and those who hear the convention discourses on faith will be spiritually refreshed. When we take a long motor trip, we have to stop the car from time to time to refill the gas tank and service the engine. Conventions do much the same thing for us in our walk along the narrow way. We refill our spiritual gas tank, so to speak, and we are refreshed so that we can keep going to our spiritual destination. A few weeks ago, I read what Bill Gates, the chief executive officer of Microsoft, thought about religion. Bill Gates said this, just in terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more that I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Efficiency has become the all-important goal in the world today. People drive their cars and walk the streets with cell phones held to their ears because they are more efficient. Fast food is efficient, so it is displacing the slower, traditional eating places, even in places like France, where eating used to be considered one of life's pleasures. Young people today rarely write or receive a letter because talking on the telephone is vastly more efficient. I suppose one could argue that conventions are not very efficient. We could have had the elders who are speaking to us send us a videotape of their presentation instead of appearing in person, and we could project it. Now, that wouldn't work for our study leaders, but two-way video might be an option someday. Maybe not today, but soon. And, of course, eventually the rest of us wouldn't even have to come together in one place. All we would have to do is tune in to the transmission of the convention over the Internet. How wonderfully efficient it would all be. Efficient, yes. But our spiritual gas tank would remain close to empty. The encouragement that we get from face-to-face contact with others of like precious faith does something that the Internet will never replace. The coals of fire stay hot when they are together, but when one coal is separated off from the mass of hot coals, it quickly cools. Conventions serve another useful and important purpose. They contribute to the education of our children. Remember that Genesis 18 scripture? I know Abraham. He will command his children and his household, and they will keep the way of the Lord. Now, at memorial time, time, we frequently look at Exodus, the 12th chapter. And you remember it well. But this was the time of Passover. This was so important as far as the nation was concerned that this was one of the commandments that the Israelites received at that time. And we read from Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 26 and 27. It shall come to pass that when your children shall say to you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say to them, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Why is it so important for the parents to teach their children? Didn't their children understand what was happening that night? Surely. Of course they did. At that moment, they did. But as time passed, those children became adults and had children of their own. Now those children would know only what was taught to them. If the wonderful deliverance of the children of Israel by God was not taught to succeeding generations in a careful, deliberate way, it would soon become but a faded memory and eventually not even know. For a long time, there were few children in the Los Angeles Park. The few that we did have eventually became adults. But lo and behold, today things are changing. We have babies. Lots of them. More to come. The babies have brought a kind of life to our class that wasn't there before. Now, of course, many of these little ones have us all wrapped around their fingers. No one seems to be concerned in the class when they cry or talk or make noise. Many of us like to see this new life and with it, fresh enthusiasm. In time, I think we all will experience the stimulation that comes from being asked basic questions about the truth. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to your children. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. As Mark announced to you, we have special classes for those in different age categories. These sessions are going to be in classrooms just outside of the auditorium. In fact, it's going to be easy to forget that we have children, because by and large, you won't see them very often. But they're here. And we hope they are learning about some of the things that we all profit from the Word of God. Do you know the Ten Commandments? There's one of them that's interesting. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Now it's easy for parents to expect honor from their children. But just as a mental exercise, and for a moment, let's turn it around. Suppose that you were asked as parents to honor your children. How would you do that? What would you do if that's what you meant. I was intrigued by words I read recently on this subject. They were written by a rabbi, Manus Friedman, by me. I'm going to quote Rabbi Friedman's words. It's on the subject, honor your children. And I quote, the success of a child, indeed the success of childhood, depends on successfully making one's parents proud. We must teach our children how to honor their parents, not out of selfishness or because we want respect, but to give them the opportunity to win approval. So, have your children set the table. Have them carry the shopping bag. Let them pick up the dry cleaning. All the tasks that you, as the parent, would do for yourself, make your children do it for you. Don't do this for your own convenience or for your own ego aggrandizement, but because you honor them by doing it. Give your children an opportunity to win your approval. And when they do, let them know. Rabbi Friedman went on to say that when we devote our personal time to working with children, we demonstrate that we take what we're teaching seriously. And thus, the child takes it seriously. Even more, a child feels complimented by the simple fact that we take his development, his growth, his education so seriously that we give it thought. Time magazine, May 31st, 1999, reported about a study done in the state of Washington. That study found that children were far less likely to engage in risky behavior like getting pregnant, dropping out of school, selling drugs, if they feel that they have an opportunity to share their views with a trusted adult. The report went on to say that one way that many savvy parents bond with their kids is by turning off the radio and drawing them into conversation during long drives to sports practices or piano recital or something else. Might be a good idea for the parents to turn off their cell phones too during those long drives with their children. Are you a trusted adult? Are you someone with whom children feel they have an opportunity to share their views? Now, we think that those who are teaching our children during the convention are such adults. They do care about these children. They do care about their growth and their education. What about you? What about me? It's so easy to treat those that are much older or much younger than ourselves as though they were invisible. Do you know the names of the children around you? If you do, call them by name. We all like the sound of our name. If you don't know a child's name, ask them who does. And I use it a few times. By the simple gesture of talking to our children, we honor them. We show them that they matter. And of course, by not talking to them, we send the message, you are invisible. Does God call us by name? Yes, He does. The psalmist says about God, He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. That's Psalm 147 and verse 4. Well, let me tell you, there are far more stars in the universe than there are human beings who have ever lived. If God is calling the stars by their name, He certainly is calling you and I by our names. We use the word children, but kind of a funny word. Who's a child? Well, you are, and so am I. We are all children. And that's what we're called in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 2. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God, when we keep His commandments. Looking at us from God's viewpoint, you and I are all immature children. But in spite of that, He has honored His children. He has honored us by calling us out of darkness and into His marvelous light of truth. And now, we are all walking in the light. And yet, having said that, we know that some are privileged to see some things more clearly than others, some less clearly. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now, and the Apostle Paul is saying this, I know in part. Then shall I know even as I am known. That phrase, even as I am known, sort of sounds like, even as I know I'm being called by name. Paul acknowledged that what he knew in part. Now, even though we have the benefit of 2,000 years of history since Paul's time, it is still true today we know in part. That should make us humble. That should make us ready to exercise the spirit of tolerance and goodwill toward all, especially to those who can't see some interpretation of Scripture as we see it. Who knows? At the end of this convention, you may see something differently that you do not, because you were willing to listen to what one of our teachers had to say. We're also called disciples of Christ. The Greek word that is translated disciple in the New Testament is, according to my famous Greek pronunciation, 3103. in the Strong's Concordance. It means a learner. Disciple means learner. If we call ourselves disciples, we are essentially calling ourselves learners or pupils in the school of Christ, that we are willing to learn what He has to teach us. The psalmist made that point, I think, in Psalm 119, verse 135. And we read Psalm 119, 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. How wonderful for a teacher when those sitting in the class essentially endorse the words of this psalm. I'm here in the classroom teaching. Well, how do we expect the Lord to teach us? Sure, not by supernatural illumination that come to us in the night watch. He teaches us, as He has always taught His people, through human instruments. Can human instruments make mistakes? Well, of course they can. That is why we are told to prove all things, to hold fast to that which is good. But human instruments can also get it right. And we need to have the right heart attitude if we're going to be teachable in the first place. Now, one thing that should be said about a disciple is that he is disciplined. It's the same word, really, in another form. Discipline. Defined in my dictionary as controlled behavior resulting from disciplinary training, or also defined as self-control. The word disciple, singular and plural, appears frequently in the New Testament. I was amazed to find that the word discipline does not, at least in the King James. So you have to go to the translation if you like the word. And I like the word. And the NIV uses it in 2 Timothy 1:7. These are the words in the NIV translated from the Greek of 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Now, January 2nd, the text is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Ye are not your own. And this is coming. We are not our own. We belong to another. We are not to obey self-will. On the contrary, His will. This means holiness in the most absolute and comprehensive sense of the word. Not only separation from sin to righteousness, and here's the part that I really like, but separation from self to the will of God in Christ. Self-control, self-discipline. Being a disciplined disciple is hard work, and it is a lifelong process. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 25. The reading is from the NIV. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown of laurel that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. May this convention give you the strength to keep on keeping on. May you all run in such a way as to gain the prize, so that in the world to come, you will receive a crown that will last forever. Amen. Now, as a part, always, it seems, in a welcoming address, there are always a few words of announcement that need to be made. We are here for the second, maybe third or fourth time. Third time, I think, for the Los Angeles Convention, but the General Convention was also held here. So those of you that have been here before kind of like know the system. We are never quite sure if everything is the same from 1 year to the next, but let me tell you first about the meals, because lunch comes next. There will be somebody there of our brethren, Lois Austin, certainly to begin with, who will have a roll of tickets. And as you go through to eat, we're going to share out tickets to maintain our account. Whether the college is using another system, I don't know. But we have such a wonderful relationship with this college, it may very well be that our account will be the accepting account. We pay for the meals that are served. And so, don't worry about payment. Some of you have paid for everything in advance. Some of you have not. We are not concerned about the payment. If you want to pay at the time you get a ticket, you may do that. If you want to put it in the collection box, you may do that. You may do as you please. We simply want you to eat with us and to enjoy the temporal food as well as the spiritual food that has been provided for you. Breakfast is not specified in time on the program. We are sharing the campus with another group. Testimony for Christ is their name. It's an Asian group. And I don't know how much of an overlap we have with them, but I know that when they go out, another group comes in. And we will have a room in the dining hall where only the Bible students will be, so that we will be eating all together rather than intermix with the other group. But because the cafeteria wants to minimize their time for being open, breakfast is a little bit later than some of you might like. It evidently suits the other group, and they are larger in number than we are. And so breakfast is going to begin to be served at 7:45 a.m. And it will be served until 9 a.m. So any time within that range, from 7:45 to 9, you may have breakfast here. You know about the Sunday school rooms. We put in a program for the Sunday school in the envelopes of those that we anticipated being here. Programs are available. If you have not checked in with the registration and were pre-registered, please do so. That's in Story House, right next to the cafeteria. And I'll probably close that this afternoon and keep all of the material with me for those that arrive after lunch. But we would like to make sure that you get your keys and that you get the envelope that we prepared for you. And then finally, Donna and Alan Allers have asked several different people to make sure that their Christian love was conveyed to this convention. They've been with us before. They are not with us at this time, and we are happy to do that. Thank you, Brother Michael. We certainly appreciated those thoughts. You know, as you brought up the subject of children, it certainly brought a tear to my eye. I talked to Alicia and our two sons, James and Timothy, They're over in Poland right now visiting Grandma and Grandpa. And Michael mentioned about teaching your children. And when I talked to them last week, you know, I asked James a lot of questions, and he said yes, yes, and I was very young children, and I said yes, yes. Well, this morning, their time, I called him last night, he's learning Polish. And then he hit me real hard. He said, I don't want to go to Domo. I want to stay here. And that hit me hard, but he's learning Polish. So it's important to teach your children, but we thank you, Brother Michael, for those thoughts. As Brother Michael mentioned, one other wish of love to be brought to the brethren is that from Bob and Amy Cole. They wanted to be remembered as a friend. And if you have any problems finding the luncheon hall, as Brother Michael mentioned, it's next, right next to the story house where the check-in was, and I would suggest holding on to someone that knows the way, and you shouldn't have any problem. We'll regather here for our afternoon session at 2 p.m. At that time, we'll be served by Brother Carlton Chandler. So I'll try to be here a few minutes early before that so we can start right on the hour at 2 p.m.
Our dear Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. We as thy children come before thee at this time, thanking thee for all that thou hast done in our lives, for honoring us, for calling us out of darkness into thy marvelous light of truth and understanding. We thank thee for the opportunity to draw apart from the world, where we can be refreshed spiritually with those of like precious faith. Help us to be good learners in this school of Christ, to learn those things that thou wouldst have us learn. Help us to empty ourselves of self-will and obey thy will in all things. We indeed pray that thy blessing will rest upon this convention, blessing all those that speak to us throughout the 3 days of convention as we are here. And bless to the children as they learn of thee and that thou art a great God of love. And now as we anticipate our temporal food, we pray that thy blessing will rest upon them. Help us to use the strength in thy service. Be with us as we fellowship together that what we say will be done to thy name, to honor and glory. Be with us now as we further wait before thee, and with all thy dear ones throughout the world, for we ask it in Jesus' name.